Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Joining us today on Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann, Dr. Nsekelelo Breakfast. He is the Acting Director of the Center for Security, Peace and Conflict Resolution at Nelson Mandela Bay University. He is also the former head of the School for Security and Africa Studies at Stellenbosch University. Doctor, thank you for your time. The era of a government of national unity is upon South Africa. There are expectations, there are concerns. 10 out of 18 parties have signed up to the GNU. In general terms, how do you see this polygamous political marriage turning out? Is it workable? Will it last?
Well, I think coalition formations at local government level have been unworkable and unstable. But I think of late we have seen coalition partners on a national scale signing a document of intent, a statement of intent as a framework to make it work, because the stakes are high. I mean, at local, I'm not saying that local government level is not an important sphere. It is an important sphere because it is closer to the people on the ground. But I think national government is extremely important because you have to promote development for the majority. You have to address issues on a global scale. You have to also respond to other security matters. So I think the gaps that we have seen, I think the coalition partners have tried to bridge them. But I think there's one thing that is still missing, which is a platform to resolve conflicts. So I think so far so good. Of course, we have other provinces that, you know, are leaderless at the moment. The case in point is Gauteng. My view is that South Africa doesn't have a long-standing history of coalition formations. We saw them in the early 1900s, in 1924, to be more specific, between the National Party and the Labour Party, and then in 1933, between the National Party again and the South African Party. But after that, the National Party became hegemonic in the political landscape until the ANC rose to prominence in 1994 and then became dominant as well, until it was dealt with a blow, you know, in 2016. So from 2016 until to date, the ANC's electoral performance has really been downward, and the voters have given us these electoral outcomes.
The DA and the ANC have already been at loggerheads during the formation of the cabinet. Now, there are going to be disagreements, we know that. But which are the areas where you see conflict most likely to happen, and how could conflict be avoided?
Yeah, I think the first one, obviously, is budget. Because budget has to do with the mobilization of resources. So I think that is going to be a very contentious subject. The second, and also the issue of budget has to do with ideologies which are at play. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The DA believes in a fiscal discipline. I'm not talking about the rightness or the wrongness of that, meaning that the government must reduce its expenditure. Mm. There's a thinking behind that because they want to address the budget deficit, as you know, that we've been spending more than what we have. But with the size of the cabinet that we have, I don't think that we are going to implement a fiscal discipline, because how do you implement a fiscal discipline when you have a bloated cabinet? So it stands to reason that they're going to have an expansionary fiscal policy, which is going to be very debatable. And then the second issue is the issue of policy. The DA was saying that, well, when we come into our ministries, we want to make sure that we review the contracts of the DGs. You can't blame them because I'm not saying that they must disregard the labor laws. But you want to work with someone that you are in good terms with, you sure. know, who understands the policies of your party. Now, the question is, where does policy come from? Does policy come from your political party, or does it come from, because a party can make its own policy, but when then they come to government, there are other complexities about where is the money going to come from and so on.
Sure.
You see, so that is going to cause a lot of debates as well. And then the other area will be the area of personality clashes. There are also egos at play. I think the mechanism to address a conflict is to attack problems hard and be soft on personalities, you know. Problems must be addressed and people should not personalize them, and also try to you know, it's a bit as difficult to strike a balance between transparency and discussing issues in private. So I just think that before issues can go in public, they must be fully addressed in private.
What about the issue of trust? A relationship of trust is going to be vital if we're going to have more instability rather than less instability caused by the GNU. And certainly at the outset, there's going to be suspicion on the sides of everyone involved in the GNU. How does trust get built?
Yeah, that is a $1 million question. That's a very, especially amongst politicians, because then it begs the question as to what is politics? Because politics is a game of power. Politics is about advancing your own interests. You know, in theory, you can say, you know, you want to have, I don't know, a win-win situation. You want to advance the national interests. But there seems to be lack of trust. The mere fact that the ANC and the DA, I'm citing them as the main protagonists, have been pulling in different directions signifies a lack of trust. So they will really have to work on that. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be because these political parties, they come from different ideological backgrounds. Even the way they do things, they ANC members, they call each other comrades. DA members, they call each other Democrats. So now you have to put them together in pursuit of national interest. It's going to be tough.
Dr. Breakfast, with that in mind and building trust between the two parties, the Ronaldo Jose furore arguably couldn't have come at a worse time. How do you think the DA have handled that, and how should they handle it going forward, in your opinion?
Yeah, that is a very sensitive matter. It's a very sensitive matter. Obviously, I mean, no one supports racism in his right mind or in her right mind. So, I mean, that was very unfortunate. It needs to be addressed. But yeah, I mean, also quite interesting how it emerged, the timing and so on. But the issue of racism needs to be addressed. There are other elements who want to use it to divide the country, though. You know, so it's a sensitive matter. It needs to be addressed with a maturity. But yeah, it's not something that is simplistic. It's a very complex matter.
The role of the opposition, MK and EFF, if I could turn the focus onto them, how are they going to conduct themselves in this new environment? Will they just be trying to undermine the GNU and engineer a breakup rather than developing counter policies or solutions for the nation?
We need a strong opposition. Why? To maintain the principle of separation of powers. For purposes of checks and balances, we need a strong opposition. Under the current circumstances, we are going to have a challenge because we have a government of national unity. So the DA has been, I don't think that the DA can call itself an official opposition, though in terms of the lineup, it is in number two, because it is having a footprint in the executive, though it does have a footprint in the legislative institution. So the DA is wearing two caps. So arguably, I think the official opposition will be Umkhonto we Sizwe, which is in number three in terms of the lineup, and then the EFF, and you have you know, other political parties. Now, the challenge with the two political parties, EFF and MK, they are busy having a discussion with the ANC about joining forces with them in the event that the DA walks out of the arrangement. They have confirmed that. So now how are they going to hold? You are holding the executive accountable, but at the same time, you also want to join forces with the same political party that you are criticizing. Mm. It sounds contradictory in my view. So that's the nature of opposition that we have. So now it's like you are holding this government accountable, but also want to be part of it.
Another contradiction which people have pointed out is what sort of impact the coalition government of national unity agreement, call it what you will, between the ANC and the DA as the major protagonist. What sort of impact that'll have on local government? Nelson Mandela Bay, for example, two are in opposition, and the EFF are aligned with the ANC at municipal level, but now at national level, they're going to be in opposition.
Well, the provisions of the statement of intent, they basically support the relationship even at other spheres of government. That's why, for instance, the ANC and the DA supported the IFP in KZN. There is a deadlock at the moment in Gauteng. So I don't know. I mean, a document is something that you review. If things go according to plan, those ideas, they might permeate to local government, I should imagine. Because I think the ANC, not everyone in the ANC, but the ANC on the whole is comfortable with this arrangement with the DA, and the market forces also have responded positively, as opposed to a relationship between the ANC and the EFF. So if things go according to plan, it might permeate to other spheres of government. As you know, that there are other specificities of local government. For instance, if you look at the arrangement at Nelson Mandela Bay, you have another arrangement where the DA is the opposition, the ANC has a coalition with other political parties.
The role of those parties in the GNU who are not represented in the cabinet, I'm thinking of Rise Mzansi, for example. Mm-hmm. In practical terms, how do they fit into this marriage?
Yeah. I think it's important, you know, to have political parties who are outside this arrangement, who basically, I don't think they are opposed to it. I think they support it because it means that the country is going forward, and it means that there's a government, hopefully, with the intention of putting the country on the map. But also they are well aware of their responsibility of holding the government of the day accountable. I mean, what is going to happen if all the political parties are in that government? Then there will be no opposition. So opposition is needed. But I think maybe this relationship, I mean, this is first time we have something of this nature. Yes, I'm well aware of what had happened in 1994, but that was a different kettle of fish because that was the product of CODESA and so on. Yeah.
Last question for you this morning, Dr. Breakfast. Your thoughts on the actual portfolios that have been allocated to the various parties. Are there any that particularly excite you and any that particularly concern you?
I've got mixed feelings. I think the strong point of this team is that people are drawn from different political backgrounds. I don't believe that talented people can be confined to one political party. I don't think that you can only find talent in one political party. Now, you have selected people from across the political spectrum, and they reflect the demographics of the country. So I think everyone can take pride in this government, you know, because you can see those of your own, you know, in the leadership of the country. So I think that's the strong point. And then the other strong point is that, you know, in terms of decision making, there will be a consensus as opposed to one political party imposing its hegemony on all and sundry because of its majority. But also, I think the beauty of it is that it also protects, you know, I'm sorry to use this concept, it protects the interest of minority groups who have expressed a concern in the past, you know, or like, for example, there have been communities, whether it's a colored community, whether it's the Indian community or the white community that doesn't benefit from Employment Equity Act and BBBE, but now they are represented there, which is good. But now the worst part of it, or the disadvantage of this arrangement, is that you are likely to have a slow pace of service delivery because you must get a threshold of 60% for policy making, for decision making, and it means that it's going to hold back government. So that's the worst part of it.
We appreciate you joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines today. We shall leave it there. Dr. Nsikelelo Breakfast, the Acting Director of the Center for Security, Peace and Conflict Resolution at Nelson Mandela University, discussing the Government of National Unity and our brand new cabinet with us. Have a good day, sir. Thank you for your time.
All the best. Thank you.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.